An ambitious exhibition that's taking over both Tauranga Gallery, Art Gallery and other sites around the city offers marginalised artists a rare opportunity to show their work and share their stories. Curator, artist and activist Shannon Novak advocates for the LGBTQI plus community, and he's the driving force behind the Manawatia Taketapue Defending Plurality exhibition. Its focus is on diversity and inclusivity, not just in subject matter, but through multidisciplinary art. There's photography, sculpture and painting, as well as flags and vinyl work on windows, floors and walls. Shannon's own contribution is a colourful abstract installation. It'll cover the art gallery's ground-level atrium and spill outside the building. There's a gallery of images on our webpage. Take a look, rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. Well, even with his own strong links to marginalised communities, Shannon says there was some reluctance from some artists he wanted to include, and a warning that this interview contains references to suicide.
Normally, there's resistance, shyness, concern, fear. This is all kind of tied around voices that may not have been approached by anyone before or felt they might not have had an opportunity or any interest in their work for various reasons. So it's about, what has been about me reaching out to people who may not have had that opportunity, and just talking them through the aims of the exhibition and how what I'm doing essentially is making space for their voice unfiltered so they can say what they would like to say to the general public.
It's difficult when you're dealing with shyness, isn't it? You know, to come forward, and that can be linked with self-worth and it can be linked with the reception that they might get. So how have you been able to talk them through those concerns and explain what your hopes are for this?
Well, I tie it back to the core focus of this show and my practice in general, which is death. So unfortunately, in the, I'll say, rainbow community, there is disproportionate rates of suicide, anxiety, depression. And at last count, through Auckland University, through papers released this year, we're looking at about, say, 50% more in each case, as opposed to, say, the general population. So the rainbow community are facing anxiety, depression, suicide twice as much as everybody else. And what I'm kind of finding as I get older is that my friends and the people I know and my wider family are becoming more and more inside the space. And unfortunately, I've lost a few friends over the last few years. I lost my ex-partner to suicide. So it's becoming quite real for me, even more so now. And the work, the show, and the voices really are an opportunity to help reverse those statistics by creating awareness, educating, sharing, and giving space. So it's my hope, and when I speak to people involved, that young rainbow people may visit the show who may be struggling, and they may be inspired by the work. They may see something that they connect with that might just help them through a tough time.
As the work has started to come in from the artists who are going to be part of this, Shannon, what are you seeing themes? I mean, just those things you've been talking about, artists who are struggling, is that coming through in their work, or is there a real cross-section and perhaps some work is unrelated to that, just something of joy or expression? Do you know what I mean? Is there the deep and thought-provoking as well as the joyful and expressive?
Absolutely. And that is, joy has to be a part of it. I kind of aim to have people leave the exhibition on a positive note. So feeling that there is hope and that things are moving in the right direction, and perhaps here's how we as a community, or myself as a visitor to the show, could help the situation. So there's links to practical ways that people might be able to support the community. But inside the show, yes, there's moments of colour, of joy, of celebration, acknowledgement, and there's that kind of counterpart to where we talk about the serious stuff, which is important because it is a reality and it needs to be spoken about.
I'm really so thrilled to see the range of work as well. I mean, I don't think there's an art form not represented in here, Shannon.
Yeah, it was really just to welcome voices irrespective of the mode they worked in, irrespective of their career, in terms of their perhaps experience, all those sorts of elements. It's putting all that aside, it's dropping ego and really just inviting the community, regardless what form that community is in, into the gallery space.
It's a big enough project for a curator to fill an art gallery, and you know, Tauranga Gallery is a beautiful big space, but you're also taking the work right into the heart of the community, to other spaces, off-site spaces, and that clearly is part of what you've just been talking about, is awareness and acceptance and conversations and making sure the work is seen by people perhaps who wouldn't go into an art gallery.
Correct. So I like taking the work outside the gallery and taking the work to the people, because as you said, not everybody goes to a gallery, not everybody feels comfortable in that space for whatever reason, and sometimes the only touch points they have are in public spaces like the mall, the historic village in Tauranga, these kind of hub points that may or may not be traditionally seen as contemporary art spaces.
I see too that this is multi-generational, and I suspect this is really important. And are you finding that those artists at either end of that age spectrum are talking to each other, you know, are sharing concerns and ideas and experiences, or have things changed? So if you have an artist in their late teens, early 20s, and you have art by somebody maybe in their 70s or 80s, you know that their experiences are quite different.
They are quite different. However, there's themes that tie everything together around the struggle, the search for identity, the search for support, the mystical, so not knowing where you sit anywhere on any spectrum. And it's important that both those voices, those intergenerational conversations and those voices are in the space, so we connect with our audience who is of different generations.
It sounds like you are reaching as broadly, Shannon, as you possibly can. As the work has started to come in from the artists, I imagine that some of it will have surprised you, some of it will have moved you very deeply, some of it also, I don't know, perhaps has shocked you. How has it been for you personally? Not every curator is as personally involved in an exhibition as you are with this one.
It's really stressful, difficult, emotional, draining, but rewarding ultimately, in that a lot of the stories, a lot of the work that comes into the show, there's some sort of relationship or connection that I have personally with the work I can reflect on, sometimes directly, sometimes not, but there's always a connection because whomever I'm working with is essentially family. So we're all part of that community. So essentially I see the artist that I'm bringing in as part of my family. So naturally I'm going to have these emotional roller coasters, particularly when the content deals with quite sensitive themes around suicide and the decolonization of space.
You are also, of course, not only a curator but also an artist, and you've gone big for your floor-based installation. What can you tell us about it?
The floor space really is something I wanted to act as a bridge, I guess, to the work from the community. So the floor space is based on this old mythological idea, Norse, I believe, around a rainbow bridge that connected the world of the living with the world of the gods. And kind of taking that a little literally and creating, I guess, a rainbow platform or bridge that connects the outside community with the world of the rainbow community, which is up the rainbow stairs, which extend from the rainbow floor into another level.
Can you give us, I'm very hard for you, of course, with so many artists, and it's not that we're picking favourites, but can you give us some examples of some of the other artists' work that we'll see?
Absolutely. There'll be flag work from Russ Flatt, who is normally seen in the area of photography, but this time it'll be quite different, so quite exciting there. Local voices, so in Tauranga, from people that are not necessarily artists who want to just share their story or voice on particular challenges and successes that they've experienced. Also, artists outside the area, such as Alia Winter, Brent Harris, Tanu Gago, Tali Twitter, and it's really a range of large-scale photography, video, projection, and some kind of sculptural elements as well. So as you mentioned earlier, it crosses quite a wide range of, yeah, a wide range of modes.
You mentioned before that it's been stressful. I can hear in your voice the sense of responsibility that you have to this community that you've invited to be part of this. So, you know, once the exhibition starts on all these different sites, there's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. But do you have faith that people from outside the community who come to look at the art, perhaps in the gallery and or on those off gallery sites, you know, will come with an open mind, will come with a genuine interest, and something good can come from this, not only from the artists who get that pride of being able to show their work, but also from starting conversations and starting to break down some of those walls?
Absolutely. So it just comes back to the focus, which is death and essentially working to save lives within the rainbow community. So my expectation or my kind of vision, I guess, for the show and the other work I do is to grow awareness, if anything, educate where appropriate, and therefore start to build or grow support within the community I'm working in for the rainbow community. And that's happened over the years. So through sharing these ideas, these experiences, whether through my voice or the voices of others, we see an uptake and I guess increase in support for the local communities, whether that's measured through an increase in donations to local rainbow organisations like Rainbow Youth, or maybe volunteering time, so people seeing that there's a need and putting their hand up to volunteer time for the community.
Acronyms are tricky things at the best of times, and for something like this, you are wanting to be absolutely inclusive. So even the LGBTQI plus acronym, which is perhaps the one most commonly used now, even that, I think, can be limiting. So how are you describing who this exhibition is open to?
It's open to everybody, anyone, anywhere. But in terms of the acronym, it's a problem, and it's a global problem. And it's about not really knowing or having a global term that we can use to encompass the entire rainbow community. We use LGBT or versions of rainbow, queer, all sorts. However, none of those can cover the entire community. So I sort of say to people, you know, just choose the one that, you know, works best for you. There's no kind of one right answer. In my case, I'm doing the best I can. And for me, the way I kind of state it at the moment is LGBTQI plus and BIPOC, Black, Indigenous people of colour, minorities that may or may not fit in that acronym. For example, Takatāpui, who may or may not identify with the LGBT acronym.
Shannon Novak, Manawatia Takatāpui, Defending Plurality, opens at Tauranga Art Gallery on Friday. And that story raised concerns for you, raised issues for you. We have put the contact details for Lifeline and Samaritans on our webpage.